Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Tuesday, December 7th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. And by the Eco-Imagination Challenge from GE. GE and its partners are awarding $200 million to ideas that help build the next generation power grid for the 21st century. For more information and to view and comment on the winning ideas, go to ecoimagination.com/challenge. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Becky Worley.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we kick around Chrome OS. Big announcement this morning from the Google.
Yeah, you were live blogging the live podcasting,
streaming,
live doing
live
everything.
Commenting. Yeah,
you were all over it, and it was a little slow to start, but then the big headline is the hardware, right? We have a new laptop, Chrome OS laptop. CR48. Give us this is not
for sale yet. The CR48, they wouldn't admit who it's been built by. I'm sure we'll figure that out pretty soon. But they are starting a Chrome OS pilot program that will allow you to get a CR48. And it's essentially a small notebook, could maybe considered a netbook. It's got a 12.1-inch screen, full-size keyboard, 802.11n, dual-band Wi-Fi. They say it can get 8 hours of active use battery time, webcam, flash storage. But most importantly, it comes with Chrome OS installed so that people can try it out. They're not going to sell these things till mid-2011, but they've got an interesting thing going on, a pilot program that allows you to try out Chrome OS. If you're in a business that is one of their partners, if you were on their Facebook fan page and scanned the QR code and got in that way, or you can apply by going to the website and doing an application. I'm sure that thing has been overwhelmed at this point.
Tony upstairs already put our TWiT application in for a couple of these, but I put in an application myself during
the announcement. I mean, yeah.
Why not get your hands on it and see what the OS is going to look like on this hardware? Also announced, we will see laptops running the Chrome OS for sale mid, as you mentioned, 2011. Specifically, they called out Acer and Samsung will make these. And was your sense, Tom, as I looked at a lot of the verbiage that was being thrown around, there was this inconsistency between laptop and netbook. Is this the return of the netbook all sort of reconstituted through Chrome OS?
Well, that's what's really interesting. Chrome OS, if you haven't heard, is essentially the Chrome browser turned into an operating system, or an operating system built mostly around the Chrome browser. So it makes the Chrome web apps make sense, because those are really the only apps you can get going on Chrome OS. And it's trying to find a niche between your full laptop with an operating system and a tablet. They're essentially indicating, without drawing it too fine, you know, too determinedly, that Android is meant for phones and tablets and Chrome OS is meant for netbooks. And so if people go for Chrome OS on the netbook, then it would make sense to have the Chrome web store and everything else falls into place. It's a big question whether netbooks are something people still want. They still sell, but tablets have been eating into that. And the idea of a netbook that is less feature filled than a Windows netbook or an Ubuntu netbook, maybe has some advantages because of power consumption and instant on, and the fact that they've got 3G built in. They're partnering with Verizon, so you get 100 megabytes free data. Not that much, but you get some free data, so when you're not around a Wi-Fi, they're trying to make this be your portable machine that you live in, and it's essentially a thin client, right?
And that's 2 years. I think that's actually a very big enticement from Verizon. 2 years of free data. 100 megabytes may not be all that much, but 2 years of it, that's a good enticement if they can get the price point on these netbooks down.
And there's no contracts. You can buy a day pass for $10, which is a little expensive, but it's unlimited. Or you can buy by the megabyte, buy by the gigabyte. You can buy a gigabyte and then you just use it until you've used it up. So the idea is this OS can do offline apps. The web apps can be used offline in many cases, but the idea is to have you connected all the time. So even when you're in the taxi going from one place to another, you can use that 3G service maybe to check your email.
I think everyone all along has been asking, okay, why do we need a Chrome OS if we have Android? And it's interesting to me that Google hasn't answered the question and made this distinction about netbooks earlier. I wonder if they're just pulling that together themselves or waiting to see how the netbook, you know, they kind of slumped when the iPad came out. People thought, I don't know how this is going to, how netbooks are going to fare in the long run. So I think now we actually see the ecosystem that Google is establishing for these different devices and their different uses and how these operating systems will play. And specifically with regard to the apps that will run on Chrome OS, one of the things that came out in the event was that the Kindle for web is going to launch, and that will allow you to read complete books on a browser. And they said, you know, Chrome was the one that was called out, but I called the folks at Amazon, and they did clearly and explicitly say this will work on all browsers that are using HTML5. And while this was kind of a strange sidebar in the Google event, I think this is a big deal for e-readers in general, that you can read entire books through a browser.
Yeah, I think it's really odd when you think about it. The big announcement Google had on Monday was Google eBooks. And one of the things they had on Amazon is the fact that you could read a Google eBook in any browser, which you couldn't do with Amazon. You had to have a Kindle app installed. Well, today, at the Google announcement, Amazon caught up with that. So really, Google's eBook system only has an advantage in that you can take your Google eBooks and put them on the Sony Reader or the Barnes & Noble Nook or other devices that support that Adobe DRM DPUB standard, which the Kindle does not. But Amazon reached parity partly thanks to Google.
And I think all of this is also going back to what we're seeing in terms of user data about how people are using eBooks. There was a study out a couple months ago from Forrester saying, yeah, Kindle, that's where the most eBooks are read. And then number two, just 3 percentage points behind the Kindle, was people were reading on a laptop. And so we see this as a real growth point and something that's existing for folks who don't have mobile devices for reading. And I think that basically everyone's just getting in line with that.
A little geekier tip, Google quietly posted their big JavaScript engine update. They did talk about Crankshaft when they were talking about Google Chrome. That's an addition to the V8 JavaScript engine, which they say is extremely fast. And conceivably, Tech has run some benchmarks on two different PCs, posted the charts. And it looks like the new JavaScript engine is up to 100% faster than the Chrome browsers with JavaScript version 2.5. This is a 3.0 version of the engine. So they managed to make a big tweak to the Chrome browser at the same time that they're announcing all this about the Chrome OS.
Yeah, they had a pretty impressive demo when they loaded up a PDF. I think it was like 1,500 pages. It was the healthcare PDF, and that thing loaded like slicker than snot. So,
ooh, loading PDFs.
Whoop, whoop.
The big question to me with the Chrome Web Store, just to kind of bring it all back together, is why would I want to buy a web app when I'm used to just going to a link and having a bookmark? And the answer to that is I'm running Chrome OS. That is the only. I don't see how I'd want to use Chrome Web Store on my regular computer. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But if I'm in Chrome OS, that is the only way to get applications, and then it makes sense. So this Chrome web browser, they're like, well, you know what? We're going to put it in Chrome because, hey, if somebody wants to use it in the Chrome web browser, I'm sure some people will. Some people will find a use for it. Everything does have unintended consequences, but it's mostly for Chrome OS. The big question is, can I live in Chrome OS? And that's what I put in my application when I applied to get one of these CR48?
Which has something to do with Chromium.
It's the isotope of Chromium.
Right.
I put in there, I was like, I will live with this for a week and use nothing else to try it out if I get one. So I'm hoping that makes up for the fact that I cut off Eric Schmidt on our special coverage because we ran out of time. I probably won't. I'm probably blackballed.
You are, or at least blacklisted. I don't know about the other.
Something like that.
Should we go on to the Twitter virus through Google links? A little bit of bad news.
Yeah, bad news for Google, right. A virus is making its way through Twitter right now. It started on the Twitter mobile site. If you see a goo.gl short link, be very wary of it. Two URLs in particular, goo.gl/od0az and goo.gl/r7f68.
Don't go open those right now.
Yeah, don't use those because they lead to a malicious website that can hijack your Twitter account and infect you with malware.
And this is such an annoyance because, you know, all of these Earl shorteners, they work differently, and some of them have protections around this. Probably the best protection that you have from these Earl shorteners that can go to malicious sites is the bit.ly preview. But that's kind of a pain to have to hover over a link and then get a little preview. Tiny Earl has the same thing. And the thing I like best about Google is they have such a great extension in Chrome, and it makes it so easy to link shorten and copy just with a couple of clicks. So I'm sort of bummed that this has been the target for this virus. I hope it gets under control pretty quickly.
TechCrunch says the folks at Twitter are aware of the virus. They've been sending out password resets. So just if you haven't been infected by it, keep your eyes open. If you have, get a password reset from Twitter. Let's move on to our WikiLeaks roundup of the day. Julian Assange arrested this morning in London. Well, this morning for us, this afternoon for him. And everyone thought it was going to be a meeting with the police. It would take a long time. Turned around really quickly. He was denied bail. He's going to stay in jail. And he's going to probably go to trial over whether he will be extradited to Sweden over the sexual assault charges.
But no word yet as to whether or not any other extradition is on the table with regard to the U.S. That wasn't brought up in the hearing at all. He was denied bail because it was appeared that he had the means if he chose to flee, and that he certainly had incentive to do so based upon the extenuating circumstances of the WikiLeaks case. A couple of other interesting things going on today. MasterCard and Visa joining PayPal in pulling the plug on WikiLeaks payments. So anyone who wants to make a donation to WikiLeaks, not able to do so through traditional means.
Again, because they say what WikiLeaks is doing is against their terms of service because it's illegal, but it has not been determined by anyone that it is illegal. What Assange is under arrest for has nothing to do with WikiLeaks.
Right. Right. I mean, this is sort of corollary, but not directly resulting from the arrest. And then on the sidebar, Facebook saying, you know what, we're going to leave the WikiLeaks page, the fan page, up because they are not technically violating our terms of service. But they certainly left that open-ended if they wanted to, say, for political reasons, take that down in the future.
Dianne Feinstein, senator from California, has said that WikiLeaks is breaking the law because they violate the Espionage Act, which says that you can't publish secrets, any classified information, anything that could be used to harm United States interests, either here or abroad. That is an act that has never successfully been used to prevent publication. It has been tried before, but it hasn't been used. So just asserting that doesn't make it true. But you know that the U.S. government is coming to these companies and leaning on them very hard to say, look, this is a violation of the Espionage Act, and you need to crack down on them. And the companies are cooperating, maybe because they agree with them, maybe because they hate what WikiLeaks is doing.
Yeah, and Joe Lieberman has also put a lot of pressure on companies to not facilitate anything that WikiLeaks is doing. Those companies have a tough call. Have we talked about the DDoS and 4chan getting involved
in
the DDoS?
Yes, Anonymous, the group. No, it's not 4chan that's involved. It's Anonymous, which is a group that organizes on 4chan, has been organized on 4chan. And they've gone after the Swiss bank, and they've gone after PayPal. One wonders Visa and MasterCard must be next in the sidelight. Also, another whistleblowing site that doesn't get nearly as much press is Cryptome, or as I idiotically called them on Twit on Sunday, Cryptome, because I was high on cold medicine. The founder of Cryptome says that WikiLeaks are for hire mercenaries. He says they're doing this to make a profit. This is a money-making organization. They don't want to help anybody, and they're pointing to the fact that actually none of the leaks are really changing anything, that a lot of these leaks have been determined to be irrelevant. And Secretary of Defense Robert Gates has pretty much said so. Although he's happy Assange got arrested, he said it doesn't seem like anything is really harmful here.
Yeah, there are two salient points that came out of this. John Young, who's this guy from Cryptome, he says he was initially invited to be a part of WikiLeaks. And what spooked him about it was when they started talking about raising $5 million, and he recognized that this was this very strange business model, which is basically extortion in a way, or selling secrets of state. And he didn't want anything to do with it. And
he's accusing of selling secrets on the side, essentially.
Yeah. And it was actually a really interesting interview, and it's available where it's there's a link to it at the Register. We'll try and get a link to it in ours. But he had some really very good points questioning the motives of WikiLeaks. And then your point about First Amendment speech and trying to change something, that this is sort of like a massive barf of info. It's not a tactical release of information that helps to accomplish a goal. And there's been a lot of interesting discussion around that. I mean, in some senses, this is such a political story and not a tech story. But certainly the means have provided a lot of fodder for those of us in the tech community.
Yeah, well, it's all mixed up in one because it's on the web. There's a lot going on the web to protest, to deny, to pull things down. So we will keep bringing it to you from that perspective. I want to take a break and thank our sponsors, Ford and voice-activated Sync. For those of you who like to surf the web in the car, send text messages, say, "Hey, Becky, it's time to get on Technos Today. I'm still driving, though. I'll be there shortly." You can do so much more safely with Ford and voice-activated Sync. I was driving around wine country last weekend in a car with Ford voice-activated Sync. It was great to be able to play music, and even as a passenger, not to have to pick something up and fiddle around, just say, you know, skip that song.
Well, basically what it sounds like you were doing is you were in the car. I'm hoping you were the passenger.
I was
you
the
were
passenger.
Texting, cruising
but you
the
know what? Even
and
if I wasn't,
drinking in wine country.
It's true hands-free calling. Well, the drinking part, forget that. But if you are a sober driver, you can do true hands-free calling, 911 assist, and more. And, of course, we've mentioned the Ford Focus Global Test Drive, your chance to get a sneak peek at the all-new Ford Focus. Go to twitfordfocus.com to learn more about it. Ford will donate $10,000 to a charitable cause of your choice if you win. All you got to do is upload a video saying why you should be chosen and why your charity should be picked. And you can be flown to Madrid to the Spain's National Institute for Aerospace Technology to test drive the 2012 Ford Focus, as well as have $10,000 donated to the charitable cause of your choice. Check it out right now. You've got until December 31st to make your video. Come up with something good. Come up with a good charity. Come up with a reason to be flown to Spain and drive the Ford Focus. What's not to love? Go to twitfordfocus.com. All right, Motorola Android prototype makes a cameo last night. A lot more. It's like Google just doesn't want any other news to happen. So at the D-Dive into Mobile conference, Google's Andy Rubin got up on stage and showed off a Motorola Android tablet.
I love how they're so casual about this, too. Like, yeah, I just got this thing here. I mean, it's going to come out in a while. It's kind of confidential. I mean, this is exactly how the Nexus S got shown off, sort of in this casual conference way. But
I almost
prefer
really cool. that, frankly, to what they did. It was really long, the announcement this morning. I understand why, because that's how you do those things. But
right. But the specs on this thing are pretty cool. NVIDIA processor, dual-core 3D processor. It runs Honeycomb, not Gingerbread. And one of the points he made to Kara Swisher and Walt Mossberg in the presentation was Ruben said, "Hey, look, there's no home buttons. There's no wrong way to hold it."
Steve Jobs will love this. No buttons.
No buttons. It's all software-based.
I don't know if I like that, though. What if something gets frozen on the screen? What do? I can't hammer away at a button.
There's a paperclip hole that you stick the thing in and you reset it somehow. I'm sure you got one of that. One thing that they did talk about, though, in terms of Honeycomb and how it's different is that they have these things called Fragments. It's an API that lets developers alter the way that they display the information. So, for example, in a phone version of Android, what you might do is have a linear display where someone scrolls on the smaller screen. But by using the Fragment API, what you can do is create columns and figure out what the best way for the larger screen. And this thing looked like, I thought that was a 10-inch screen. What did you think, Tom? They didn't say, but just
it was hard to tell. I don't know how big Andy Rubin's hands are.
I
wonder if someone could. I mean, in this age of privacy, how can we not know? It's got to be on his wiki page or something. But yeah, it looks like it's 7 to 10, somewhere in there. It's going to be running Honeycomb. Android Honeycomb is coming next year and will be the tablet Android operating system. So some big announcements there from Google. Another Google story. I'm sorry, people. It's just what's in the news today. The New York Times article that exposed DecoreMyEyes.com brought eyeglass proprietor Vitaly Borker under some scrutiny, and he has now been arrested on charges of cyber stalking, making interstate threats, mail fraud, and wire fraud.
Yay. What a jerk. Well, this is the guy who basically decided that by having the worst customer service ever on the internet, he could
claim
to
help his SEO.
It's right, and get his Google search results, get his page to the top of the Google search results, even if the information about his company was bad. It's terrible, but he's been arrested.
He has been arrested, and that doesn't help his SEO. I don't know. Maybe it does. Google said that it actually never really helped his SEO that much, that he was making a bigger deal out of it than it was. All right, let's go to a non-Google story. Shipments of smartphones, tablets, and other app-enabled devices will overtake PC shipments in the next 18 months, according to market research firm IDC.
Yeah, this is big. Smartphones, media tablets, the iPad will reach 284 million units. And that is going to be eventually bigger. In 2012, they say 448 PC shipments. And let's see. How does that work? Let me see. Have you got these numbers straight? I'm looking at them. I was told there'd be no math. We've got 356 million PC shipments this year. And it'll be 377 for mobile devices. There we go.
Okay.
See, does that make sense?
377 million in 2011 mobile devices, 356 million PC shipments in 2011. And then it gets worse. It goes to 462 million shipments in 2012 of mobile devices and 448 million PC shipments. So the PC shipments continue to rise, but they don't rise as fast as the mobile devices. And that's a big change. We are changing into a world, and Chrome OS is an example of this, where we're picking devices that fit what we use them for, rather than just, you know, in the 90s, you bought a beige box. That's what you bought. That's all you had.
You know, I think where the surprise comes in this is that you always think that enterprise is going to always level the playing field toward PC and towards hardware. And that's what surprised me about this story. It definitely is. I think with the adoption of more mobile technology in the enterprise world, that's where we're going to see the huge sea change as this goes. My bigger question, Tom, did you get a higher score on your SAT, verbal or math?
You know, I don't remember.
What?
Math. I definitely got it on math.
Jason?
No comment. Completely honestly do not remember.
College. No, he did.
I absolutely totally don't remember that.
Yeah,
it was a long time
ago.
Let's
remember. Let's remember this from now
Why
on.
Do you ask?
Do all the math stories, Tom, and I'll do all the word stories. Okay.
All right. And I got my highest. Cameras. I got my highest ranking on the analytic, whatever that's called, where they make you interpret stuff.
Your logic guy.
Yeah. The one that only counts for law school. I did really well in that. Then didn't go to law school. Look at me, wasting my resources. This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by the $200 million Ecomagination Challenge from GE, making investments in three energy categories: renewables, encouraging better ways to integrate renewable energy into our power grid; the investment category, encouraging converting the smart grid to digital energy to improve transparency at every step in the grid; and eco homes and buildings. Energy consumption is growing so quickly, it's creating an imbalance between demand and supply, and they want to help solve that. They're making $200 million available to invest in great ideas in each of these areas. And if you would like to learn more about how they're doing this and read the winning ideas from the Ecomagination Challenge, find out what they're going to sink that money into, go to ecomagination.com/challenge. That's ecomagination.com/challenge. We thank GE for supporting not only Tech News Today, but also Green Tech Today, our show with
That's
Dr.
Right.
Kiki and Becky, host it sometimes. Yep. Be sure to listen or watch Green Tech Today in iTunes or at twit.tv. Time for the news fuse. Engadget reports that the guys who build custom ROMs, the ones who do it just, you know, because they can, have already begun work on delivering Gingerbread to owners of HTC's Evo 4G, the Droid Eris, and Wildfire. It's in the early stages, and there's lots of warnings about how you really should only do this if you're going to contribute to the development process. But it is nice to know that there is a consumable new OS of Gingerbread in the not-so-distant future, and you don't have to wait for your carrier or device maker to roll it out to you.
Yes, like that.
Streaming sex video service YouPorn is being sued for using a JavaScript flaw to check out your browsing history without your notice. Why would they do that? Well, allegedly to compile a profile of what flavor of porn you like. The class action claim is in a central California court and says that mainstream media violated the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, the California Computer Crime Law, and a bunch of other stuff, but no word on who to contact if you feel that you have been harmed and you want to join in on the class action suit.
But maybe you want to surf your porn in Internet Explorer, because Microsoft today unveiled how they plan to help consumers fight browser history tracking, a new feature which will arrive in IE9 early next year. It uses a list to tell the browser which third-party page elements sites can and cannot be blocked from tracking. This includes elements ranging from advertisements to more mundane things like embedded widgets from particular providers. So take that, porn trackers. I'm using IE9.
Yeah, maybe. How do you discourage pirated copies of a music game from circulating? Well, how about baking in really annoying vuvuzela horns that blare over the game? Yeah, that is exactly, just keep going, what Ubisoft has done in Michael Jackson the Experience game for the Nintendo DS. Ubisoft told Wired the development team worked this feature in as a creative way to discourage any tampering with the retail version of the game. And guys, you like this idea, or?
It's so handy to have a vuvuzela around when you need one.
That's my first vuvuzela, by the way.
So, nice work.
Lots of you folks have work phones and personal phones, right? You get one from work, and you got one that you keep because you don't want to mix those two together. What if you could have both on one device? Two separate phone numbers, your personal email and apps running natively, and then a virtualization of your work environment, work apps, work data, work contacts, all separated. Well, VMware is teaming with LG to sell Android smartphones that do just that, virtualization for a work environment. Currently, they are just doing this for Android phones, but they say VMware says the idea is promising, and IT managers like it. No more awkward personal visits to that, you know, that guy who just got fired for asking for his phone back, and he wants to wipe his text messages out. It would all be easy. You just delete the virtual machine.
That's right. Just blank his account. No personal visits needed. If you illegally downloaded the films Far Cry and The Steam Experiment, you can breathe easier. Federal Judge Rosemary Collier last month told a U.S. copyright group that no, it couldn't have 5 years to decide who it actually wanted to sue for sharing movies online. By December 6th, the defendants had to be named or thrown out of the case. So the lawyers filed the papers with the court yesterday, and instead of 6,230 defendants, now just 868. Every other case was dismissed.
Wow, that's a big drop. That's like a sixth. There's a defection afoot in the gaming world, or so Sherlock Holmes would say. According to a study from market research firm Interpret, there's a 13% decrease in PSP and Nintendo DS gamers, while there's been a 52% increase in mobile phone gamers. That's good news for those of you who want more Angry Birds and Cut the Rope games, but bad news for those of you who like the real games that come on Nintendo and Sony PSPs.
Real games? Tom, do I detect an opinion there?
He's an OG. An original
Apparently.
Gamer.
OG, original gamer.
Old school, ODB. One of the first 3D documentaries is out, and it's about caves. Well, actually, about ancient paintings in caves. And the fact that this is news shows us why 3D is in trouble. Where are all the great 3D documentaries? Why is the first 3D documentary about ancient two-dimensional paintings? 3D people.
This is where HD was in like 1998, I think, you know, where they had the Japanese companies going around making pretty films, just show it off. And it shows that 3D is advancing, and 3D is going to be in every TV. Let's get that straight. I believe you're going to be forced to have 3D whether you want it or not. They're just going to put it in there. But the fact that we have our first documentary on 3D, I think, is pretty telling. All right, finally, a rogue satellite, zombie satellite Galaxy 15, has a stuck transmitter and is interfering with satellite data distribution system used by NOAA, the National Weather Service, effectively shutting down data sharing between the National Weather Service offices nationwide. Also was interfering with the satellites that broadcast cable television.
No! Oh,
no! No sitcoms and no weather on the 8s?
What? Well, this is actually bad news for me, because if they can't do live shots using Galaxy 15, C-Band 7, or whatever it is, that means they're only going to do Skype live shots with me, and I'm going to be up every morning this week.
They also think the problem is likely to recur again this month, at least one more time, before the satellite drifts out of range and eventually dies due to battery depletion. I'd like to have that battery, though. It seems like it works really well.
I love it when crazy stuff happens in space. Like, lost in space!
Onto the calendar.
Big story coming out. The iPad 2 rumor mills continue to churn out some info. And I think we're going to see the pace of these rumors increasing. Because what is being reported now is that it will start shipping from Foxconn in February for an April launch. Apparently a few delays that were going to start in January. But it looks like February is when they will start production, late February, and perhaps see some models.
It's one of those Digitimes stories. They do tend to be true, though. You can never be for certain, but, you know.
It's definitely in the rumor mill. One has to, you know.
An April iPad launch seems about right, don't you think?
Definitely. And my sense of these rumors is you get one here, you get one there, but when they all start to trickle together, that's when I start to believe them. One thing, I haven't been on for a while, so I wanted to hit a couple deals for you folks who are holiday shopping and want to take advantage of some of the deals that are out. Radio Shack has a really good deal on iPhones. And from now until Saturday, $50 off of all their iPhones. Plus, you can do the big trade-in offer that they have. So the iPhone 3GS, if you re-up with a contract, normally $99. It'll be $49 with this deal. And then if you trade in an old phone, you can get it for free, basically. This is also good for the iPhone 4. I wanted to touch on one thing that has very little to do with tech. You know the whole Cabbage Patch craze and what is the it toy that's going to run out? I am noticing a ton more shortages this year, and I wonder if this will be pervasive across all categories, if it's just toys. These are the top toys that I've seen sold out almost everywhere online. Sing-a-ma-jigs. Fisher-Price IXL, which is like a little computer leapfroggy kind of learning game. And then Dance Star Mickey, all sold out. So I'm just telling you parents out there, if these are things that your kids have requested, start looking now because I think we're going to see some shortages this year.
Get onto the eBay.
Right now.
Or the Craigslist.
And finally, another call out for you to be a part of TNT this holiday season, Jason.
Yes, please. Go to twit.tv/bestof or bit.ly/TNTHoliday2010. Twit.tv/bestof is probably a little bit easier. And submit your favorite moments from TNT throughout the year. I've gotten a lot of submissions so far, and I really appreciate your help. It's making my job just a little bit easier. So
looking forward to that. 260-TNT-SHOW. That is the phone number. I don't know what those letters translate to, but I'm sure you could do a web search and find out very easily. Or I could after the show. But Kevin and Raleigh.
You could also look at a telephone. There's an idea.
Kevin and Raleigh knew how to figure it out. He called us and let us know a little bit more about OS 2 Warp, because you can't know too much.
It's Kevin and Raleigh, North Carolina, regarding show 128 and the mention of OS 2 Warp in a money dispensing machine in a gas station or something like that. Many ATMs in the U.S. still run OS 2. Many, several thousands. And perhaps tens of thousands, a lot of large financials are in the midst of transitioning over to Windows underneath it all as we speak.
See? So you...
opportunities, low profile for threat. Hi.
It keeps keeps the Cylons out, too, because you can't network them.
Mm-hmm.
And all you OS2 Warp virus writers who want to make a few bucks off the ATMs, it's not too late.
There you go. Get in there.
I'm just saying... All right, now we got an email.
260-868-7469, by the way. I looked at my phone.
That is impressive sleuthery. This email from Derek, a.k.a. D-Dog. Hey, TNT crew, D-Dog. Wanted to write in response to the discussion on data mining. Blue Kai, Lotama, and Exalate are actually the major players, not Google and Yahoo, who also collect your data, but they are in a slightly different business. The former is part of a big trend in the online advertising called ad exchanges, demand-side platforms. Leftover display impressions from around the web are sold off in these ad exchanges. Advertisers bid, and this is different from CPM or CPC or flat fee models. Basically, they make a mass reach impression with something, since you're buying in bulk across these sites, and data is provided by companies like Blue Kai. And what they're trying to do with that data is figure out if it's the right audience to serve the ad. And then he goes on to just kind of talk about how they aggregate all your demographic behavior, past browsing history, retargeting, and says, you know, while you may get several people on a site who, based on history or data, one may be a woman 25 to 54, and the other might be an early adopter guy, so the woman gets the Ford Sync ad, and the guy gets an ad for HTC. And he makes the point that why do we care that they collect our data to target the ad more precisely? He says he may be tainted because he's in the industry, but he just present the other side of the coin.
We care if they collect it without our knowledge. We care if they identify it with our name and sell it to others. But, you know, he's got a point. If you're comfortable with it being collected, it's not a bad thing to have more relevant advertising than to have advertising that doesn't mean anything to you. I'll give you that. All right, let's finish up with something from the chat room, actually. Mike E. in Atlanta, I'm assuming that's what Mike E. underscore ATL means, points out that the Falcon 9 Dragon launch that we talked about yesterday being delayed will attempt to launch tomorrow morning. That's Thursday, December 8th. Launch window opens at 9 a.m., and you'll be able to follow it on NASA TV and the SpaceX website. So thanks for that, Mike, and I wish them luck. Godspeed, Falcon. All right, Becky, it's good to have you back. Thank you so much.
I'll be here tomorrow, the day after, and Tom, you're holding down the fort in Leo's absence. I am here merely to support the reigning king.
I know it's the busiest time of year for you, though. I couldn't do it without you. twit.tv/TNT is our website. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, and of course, give us a call at 260-TNT-SHOW, whatever those numbers were that I said earlier. We'll see you tomorrow.